Before we get on to the second record, could we like first of all like just talk about the band in general and just first of all start with how the band formed originally?
Yeah, sure. You know, we formed in 05. Back when we were still about like juniors in high school. You know, we got some tunes together. We've been jamming with the drummer and the guitar player for a couple of years already in previous bands. Then we decided to form this and go a little bit heavier, faster direction than we were previously doing. Picked up Alex about a half a year to writing. It's been the same lineup ever since. You know, we just played a bunch of shows around locally, you know, did a little bit of national stuff before we were signed and whatnot, and we got the Fashion Like a Maniac compilation, which really opened up everything for as far as being signed and whatnot. I mean, we recorded the Onslaught before that in 07, and then, like I said, we got the compilation, then Metal Blade signed us a couple months after that in 08, then we re-released it in 09, started touring, you know, toured Testament and Monomars, the Japan gig, which is great, and now we've just been looking forward ever since, you know, just really trying to move forward with our musical careers.
Okay, is there a story behind the band's name at all?
No, not really. I mean, it's, Lazarus is a name from the Bible, he's a character, he was raised from the dead by Jesus or whatever. We're not, you know, a Christian band or anything, but, you know, I guess it was a cool name to us. It had a Z in it, in the name, which a lot of bands don't have, so it kind of stood apart. And also, I guess, the meaning behind it, you know, the idea of being raised from the dead. We were trying to resurrect a style of music, I guess, that really wasn't popular at that time. And just kind of go, you know, have an old school vibe, yet bring it into the modern times, you know. I guess at the time when we had named it, that was, it was referred to, but I mean, now it's taken on a whole different, you know, meaning, I guess, you know, especially adding the AD or whatever, and avoid being sued and all that crap. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's a name that stuck out to us, so that's why.
Okay, what are your memories of recording the first album, The Onslaught?
It was quick. That's what I remember. It was my first year of college, and I remember we booked it, during, in between my semesters. You had like a few weeks off, in the winter. And, that's when we did it. We did it in the beginning of January of 2007, and we recorded the whole thing in 10 days. I mean, we had already had the material already written, ready to go. I mean, we've you know, done for a while. We just weren't sure if we were going to do it ourselves or if we wanted to go professionally, and we decided to go professionally to get a good quality record. And so, it was a very fast 10 days, and great process of learning. And, it was good. It was a long time ago. It's hard to remember. It was so fast, but it turned out great. We were very happy.
Are any of you still in education then or anything like that? Studying?
Sorry, what was that?
Are any of you still in education at all, like studying anything or whatever?
Oh, no. No, I was the only one who was going to school, and I dropped out about in my second year as the compilation came out. I was starting to get so many calls about being signed and whatnot, and I realized that, you know, it wasn't any longer a pipe dream. It was about to happen. So,
And obviously now the band's due to release its second record. Talk me through how that came to take shape when the band was writing for this second record.
Well, this one was a lot different, you know, this time through. I mean, we're much older now. Like I said, we were 17 when we wrote the first one. I mean, this time through is very different. We're a much more mature band. We're, you know, more mature in our personal lives and everything. And we really wanted to make sure that these songs were going to stand out on this record. You know, we didn't want to write another Onslaught with a bunch of, you know, bash songs or whatever, really fast, cool riffs. You know, we really wanted to show people that we're capable of doing something, you know, else in the metal genre. And we wanted to make sure, we really focused on the structure of songs, make sure that they're actual songs. You know, whereas it's, you know, verse, chorus, you can remember them, catchy vocal lines, catchy solos, you know, a good interlude, stuff like that, and that's what we really focused on. As far as the writing process overall, I exact same. I mean, we take everything the same. We really focus on making sure that all the riffs are as good as they can possibly be, and they're pieced together in a way that is going to make the song at its optimal, point. It was about 10 weeks that we recorded wrote a majority of this record. It was right after Creator, and we were going through a lot of personal grief in our lives. We had a couple family members die during that process and during the recording process and whatnot. So it was a very hard obstacle to get over for us personally, and we met a lot of challenges, but we overcame all of them, and we feel like we have an incredibly strong work.
Are these challenges reflected in the lyrical content then?
Yep, some of them. I mean, there isn't a direct, where I'm exactly talking so much about what happened, but definitely say if there is a vibe on the record, it is, personal struggle and how to overcome it, and in all types of situations. And one of the songs, Casting Forward, is directly linked to dealing with somebody dying and stuff like that. And like I said, it was more so in the music, I guess, it came out. I mean, we're really focused on the music as far as the lyrics. It's whatever. But the music, we just somehow are still able to write really good riffs, even going through what we were going through. So I was very happy with how it turned out.
Okay, in talking about this record, probably a few people have mentioned, this being the second record, was there any difficulty in doing a second record, trying to top the first record and everything?
Well, that was obviously the thing. A lot of people, their second records really fall short of their first ones if their first ones are, the one that broke them out and, people love. And we didn't really want to focus on that. We just wanted to focus on writing a good record in a different way, because we knew we weren't going to be able to top the Onslaught in the way that it was topped. It was a period in our lives that'll never be there again, and we had a mindset then that we'll never have again, and it was just a special time and place for that record, and what we wanted to do with this one was have a special time and place for this record. I think that's how every record should be. If you're trying to sound like something, it isn't honest music. We wrote whatever came out. This is what we used what we had. We didn't say, I want to write a thrash song, this is how it's going to be. We just, the riffs came out, and these are how they were arranged together in that time period. I think that's very important to capture something like that, moments, especially a lot of the solos and stuff like that. A lot of them are improv on the record, and, it was a time and place, and you have to be in that mindset, because, that you're not going to have that mindset again 2 years down the road, and when we do the next record, it's probably going to sound different again. I don't know what it's going to sound like. I just know that this is how we do things, and whatever comes out, comes out. We don't like to force riffs, because I think a lot of bands do, and it turns out, me, it's very fabricated and very unemotional, and that's not what we wanted to do. So this is a very honest record.
Being obviously a thrash band, is there that pressure to just do thrash all the time, type of thing?
Absolutely not. People label us as a thrash band. I don't think we ever, we had the motto of Thrash or Die or whatever, because at that time, especially the Onslaught, that's a very fast record. But as far as thrashing, you can thrash to any, type of metal. I never really saw it as we were, a straight Metallica, Slayer, tribute band or anything like that. I really thought we had a different sound, even though our stuff was very fast on the first record. And now on the second record, people are really going to understand that we aren't that, that brash band or whatever. We're just a straightforward metal band. You can classify us however you want. I'm going to play rock and roll. That's what we're looking to do. We're looking to write good songs and put on a killer show and play, we have distorted guitars and a double bass kit. I don't know how much, I don't know what people constitute as metal these days, because everybody's got an opinion and everybody seems to know exactly what the hell they're talking about. But I'd like to think that we're heavy metal, that's what we're going to continue to play, whether people want to say we're thrash or we're groove or we're core or we're this or we're that, put your label on us, I really don't care. I'm going to come out and put on the same show every night.
Obviously, there was a period that, the older tracks were written while the band was in high school, and these newer tracks are much fresher. What musical influences have the band got, like, say, these days that maybe weren't there when the tracks of the first album weren't recorded? What fresh sort of musical influences?
Well, I guess it wouldn't even really be fresh, you know, influences. I guess we were just kind of delving back into some different stuff, you know. On the first record, I can definitely, you know, tell you we were listening to a lot of Exodus and a lot of Testament, a lot of Metallica and Pantera and whatnot. And we still are listening to a lot of Metallica and Pantera, you know what I mean? We always will. I know we were definitely going through a classic rock phase towards the end of the Creator tour, and while we were writing this record, you know, just focusing on, you know, bands like Bad Company and Creedence Clearwater Revival and stuff like that. You know, very just, you know, stripped down, you know, southern classic rock. You know, it's just awesome. You know what I mean? And we kind of took some of those influences, I guess, to this record as far as like the songwriting structure. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously this. It's not a classic rock album. It's a very heavy metal record. But I guess, you know, just the idea of those big songs that you love to sing along to and you'll never forget. And every time they come on the radio, you just turn it up and all your friends start banging their heads and stuff like that. I guess that's what we wanted to do, except in a heavier vein, you know what I mean? And that's what Pantera did. You know, so I guess there is a lot more Pantera influence as far as that goes. And people can hear that and, you know, I don't mind being compared to Pantera. I don't mind being compared to Metallica. To me, those are the two greatest metal bands that ever exist. So if they're going to compare me to them, you know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I can definitely hear the song Walk on one of the tracks. I think it's called The Ultimate Sacrifice. I might be wrong.
Yeah.
I can hear the riff from Walk on there. I don't know if it was...
And when we were writing it, I mean, the riff is the chorus riff. I know what you're talking about. The chorus riff... It doesn't sound like Walk at all, but then towards the end of the song, we change the chorus riff to give it a little bit more your feel towards the end, and it kind of ended up it sounding a lot like Walk. And I guess we didn't even really realize it until after we started mentioning it, and it was like, oh, well, we'd like to change that now. But I mean, it's so cool, you know what I mean? I mean, if people say, oh my God, that's a ripoff of Walk, not like, it's only the last, you know, half a minute of the song.
Yeah, it's not like a ripoff, it's more of a, just like...
Right, kind of an homage, I guess, yeah. You say, or whatever, and... You know, people say, oh, that kind of sound, yeah, that sounds just like Walk, but I like the way, you know. But whatever, I mean, it is what it is.
Definitely. You may, in terms of, like, the vocals and everything, you've mentioned how, there's more of a chemistry there, with the guitarist, Dan, like, in terms of vocals and the backing vocals and syncing them in together and everything. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we wanted to, you know, I use this phrase a lot, you know, because we watch a lot of football back home, American football, and the coaches, you know, good teams always say they play to their strength, you know what I mean? And I felt that's what we did on this record. I mean, we really... When we did the first one, I mean, I didn't even want to sing, you know what I mean? Like, when we first started the band, I didn't want to be the singer. We wanted to have a standalone singer. We just couldn't find anybody in our area who could do, you know, anything even remotely as good as doing, you know? So we're like, we just stuck with it. And we knew on the second record that we wanted to get Dan more involved because he does have a really good voice. And we don't have a standalone singer, so we kind of got to set ourselves apart even farther and just having a very monotonous sound in the vocals. And that's where I really stepped up as far as, like, how I diversify the screams and the singing. And then Dan comes in and does his singing as well. So you really get a very fresh and a very diversified vocal approach. And I think it really adds to the entire record. I mean, the record is already very diverse in itself. And then when you get all the, you know, the vocals in there like that, and it just really gives for a very, you know, the songs don't become stale, you keep wanting to listen to them and stuff like that, and we definitely knew that we wanted to get Dan more involved, and we did, and I'm sure in the future we're going to get him even more involved.
Okay, does that mean, like, if, like, a vocalist comes along that the band really likes then, that maybe you'll take a step back and just concentrate on your instrument as opposed to singing, or not, or...?
I mean, that may be a possibility. I mean, if we did meet somebody who was, you know, absolutely amazing and felt like he would be a good fit in the band and had the image and stuff like that, I mean, I would never be opposed to actually having a full-on singer. Obviously, the approach to the music would be much different then. mean? And, you know, who knows? That could, you know, maybe the first few records we do without a real singer or whatever may not even be, like, the whole sound, you know what I mean? But I don't know. That's, you know, that's, who knows if that'll ever happen.
Yeah, obviously the album was recorded at Bell City Sound with Chris Wisco. Was he, like, more of an engineer then, or was he, like, a producer, or...?
He was definitely mostly an engineer. He did especially help produce a lot of the vocals, I will say that. Song structures and stuff like that we pretty much already had in the bag. You know, a couple things here and there that he helped us with, but a lot of the vocals he helped produce. And not even so much, you know, tell us what to do, just kind of, you know, kind of try and drag some stuff out of us, you know what I mean? Like, this was a new territory for us as far as exploring vocals go. And it was a good experience for us. We gained a lot of confidence, you know, after hearing how it turned out and what we were able to do, and especially under the times that we were doing it. And it was just a great experience. He did our first record as well, so we were very, very comfortable with him. And it was just overall a great experience with him. He's a really good dude. He's got a really good ear. And so definitely he helped produce a lot of the vocals. And it was, I thought they turned out great.
Okay. Does the band then prefer like that someone taking an engineer role as opposed to having like a producer come in and tell the band what to do and all this sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dan's really against, you know, producers and stuff like that. He doesn't. I mean, Dan, you know, me and Dan produce everything pretty much. We really have a good chemistry, you know, kind of Lennon McCartney style, if you will, and. And that's what we like to do. I mean, that's just what works for us. You know, I'm not opposed to having a producer come in and kind of, you know, kind of give me some ideas. But when a guy starts telling me what to do, and I know it's not, you know, starts changing it too much, you know, that's when things, you know, the heads start to clash. And I think there are some really, really great producers out there. So, I mean, I read Rick Rubin's biography or whatever a few weeks ago, and you know, there's a guy who just totally, I mean, just has such a weird approach to producing, but yet he just, like, pulls these things out of you that you didn't even know you had, you know what I mean? And there are other producers, you know, that are low-key, that have that ability, and I wouldn't be opposed to working with somebody like that who definitely saw what we're trying to go for and just really pulls the things out of the musicians rather than tells them what to do, you know what I mean?
And what about the mix on the record by James Murphy, who obviously people will know?
Yeah, I mean, he nailed it this time. I mean, last one, it was already recorded, and we just sent it to him to get it remixed. This time through, I mean, it was, we already knew he was going to mix it, and during the recording process, we were working with him a little bit, you know, and Chris did a really great job of tracking it. We got some amazing guitar tones that were all out of our EVH heads that just sounded absolutely killer. I mean, when it came down to the mix down, I mean, James just sounds better than the last one. There's no question. The drums sound better. The vocal, everything sounds better. You know what I mean? And he killed it. We're in love with the mix. To be able to work with him, you know, being such a legend in his own right. And he really loves the band. He loves working with us. So it's a great relationship.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the how can I put it? Obviously, Lazarus, there's this like thrash revival thing that the press bangs on about, and Lazarus AD is obviously lugged into that. What are your thoughts on this whole thrash revival thing that the press seems to big up?
Well, you know, I mean, they gotta have something to pull. You know what I mean? And if they want to throw us in a thrash revival, that's whatever. I mean, we're not worried about, like I said, we're not worried about classification. We're not worried about what people think. We're going to write music that we want to write in a way that we want to write it. And I don't really think we fit in with a lot of those other bands. I think that we're kind of like the bands like Revocation and Silosis, who obviously have, you know, thrash influence, but, you know, they're something new. You know what I mean? There's something fresh. It's not, you know, like some of these other bands who are just total straight rip-offs. So they, you know, they wear the denim jackets, the high tops, and all the patches, and they get up on stage, and they, you know, they sound like fucking, you know, Zetro Souza, you know, incarnate, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what we're trying to do. We don't wear jean jackets and, you know, patches and stuff like that, or headbands or any of that crap. good show, and we're trying to bring it into this this next decade. I mean, we're trying to push the metal genre forward, and we're trying to be the top act in it, you know what I mean? And that's really, really what we're looking to do, and hopefully we can continue to do it so we can get to that point.
Okay, well, what are the band's plans from here on in then? That aside, of course, like... What are the band's plans from here on in? Like, what are the next few months looking like for the band?
Well, we have an American tour with Death Angel and Bonded by Blood. That's going to be a really good one. We're really excited about that. And then immediately after that, we're coming to Europe with Bonded by Blood for a month. We got like a week in the UK and some other scattered dates, France and Belgium and Germany and Spain and stuff like that. So it's going to be a really good time. It's our first time over to Europe. We're incredibly, incredibly excited. It's a small club tour, you know what I mean? But we got to gut it out. We got to get our foot in the door over to Europe because we want to play all the big